This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Thanksgiving, everybody. Kate Delaney, thanks so much for joining us on the show. We're going to dive into some interesting things here this time around, including a visit that we had earlier in the year with my pal Mark Goldman, who got COVID, what it was like for him coming through on the other side. I mean, this is what people talk about, right? I say it's the buzz in your yard, in my backyard, and how the pandemic has affected us all economically, mentally, lifestyle, you know, all of that mixed in between. I am very, very grateful that I've been able to do this show, of course, uninterrupted, and thanks to all of you for supporting the show and all the wonderful affiliates that I'm on, and again, all of you who reach out to me, just amazing, amazing stuff. So let's start on a light note, since it is Thanksgiving, and I think of Thanksgiving Day, and to me, as a kid, it was amazing because there would be so many people that would come to the house. I had lots of relatives, and I can remember it didn't matter if there was room or not. We always found rooms because I grew up in that kind of family, right? Like, everybody's welcome no matter what. And I can remember that the thing I hated about Thanksgiving is it seemed like I was always washing dishes and drying dishes. Not just me, but I was part of the assembly of doing that. And you could say, wah, wah, wah. But it just seemed like it went on forever. I'm just saying, like, is this ever going to end? All right, enough with the complaining. So what was my favorite food? And somebody asked me this the other day, favorite side dish. So I found something on Zipia where they researched the states and what most people, how they came up with this data, I don't know, but how they polled some people and they researched what the most popular side dishes were on Thanksgiving Day. And here's a couple that I thought was pretty interesting. In Alaska, supposedly the best or most popular side dish is stuffed mushrooms. There's never been a mushroom on any Thanksgiving table that I've been at. But maybe I need to go to Alaska and celebrate Thanksgiving, and then I will understand. Now, Alabama, sweet potato casserole, I get that. Potatoes, right? In Arkansas, white gravy. And I love the thing that I love about the South, and that what you all have introduced me to is, and it could be bad for me in a way, but is white gravy and biscuits. But I think I would save the white gravy unless I was using it over onions, maybe. No surprise to my peeps in Arizona. You're like me. It's mashed potatoes. A lot of people say mashed potatoes. We have people listening in Connecticut. They say mashed potatoes as well. In Florida, what are you thinking? Rolls? You know, rolls are good, but I can think of better sides for Thanksgiving. I'm just saying. In Georgia, you're saying collard greens. I like collard greens, but I would eat them on another day, so I don't think of that. It just doesn't fit into my Thanksgiving head. Dressing, or as we call it, stuffing. The people in Louisiana supposedly like cornbread dressing the best. I can tell you, I just like traditional stuffing, just like the people in Maine, for all of you listening in Maine. I like bread stuffing the way my grandmother made it, great-grandmother made it, mother made it, showed me how to make it. I don't like all the stuff in it. I know a lot of people do, and I'm sure some of them are quite good, but to me, that is the thing that I think is so, I mean, it's so big for me, this stuffing, because to me, the stuffing and the mashed potatoes are my favorites. I would have to put, and of course, they're both, I mean, how many calories is in that, but we're not talking about calories right now. In New Mexico, side salad. In Ohio, green beans. In Oklahoma, are you listening, Oklahoma? Baked potatoes. In Rhode Island, glazed carrots. In Tennessee, hash brown casserole. I love hash brown casserole, but I could have it another day. In the great state of Texas, cream corn, same thing. I like cream corn, but I know it's a side, but I could think of another day for that. In Vermont and Virginia, macaroni and cheese. And again, with the rolls in West Virginia, wow. And, of course, in other states, similar things. And this is just an, I'm going to call it an unofficial poll. But the stuffed mushrooms, oh, mushrooms are good. But on Thanksgiving, for a side, I'm just saying, you might disagree with me. Whatever you're having on Thanksgiving, I mean, it's good, right? Just think of what the day is about. Celebrating, being grateful, being thankful, all of that. Thankful for even the basics. You're alive. You have another day. It's like, you know, when my mother, sadly, who I lost 8 years ago, I can remember being at Fox Chase was the cancer treatment center in Philly that she went to. And I can remember sitting there waiting for her to get her treatment. And in the waiting room had a lot of people. And, of course, people sign in and they're antsy and they want to get going. And I remember a woman who she's beautiful, but she was missing an arm. And I think some of that was related to her disease. And she was sitting there and smiling and reading, and she started to talk to me, and she said, you know what? She said, I don't understand when people argue about where they are in line, because it's one more day of life. And that really stuck with me. So if nothing else, if you've gone through these tough economic times, if you're frustrated out of your mind by things that are happening locally, globally, etc., one more day of life. There's always, there's always something good about the day. I'm not jumping on my motivational soapbox here, but I'm just saying what she said that day really, really hung with me, because she was right, right? She knew it. Hey, it's another day of life. I'm here. If I have to wait a little bit extra, you know, that's okay. And that's kind of Mark Goldman's point when he talks about, who's been my friend for a long time, when he talks about being thrown that curveball of getting COVID and having young children and just being in New York and what that experience was like for him. Hey, also coming up, a couple of really interesting conversations, including a conversation with Charlie Swords. I really, really enjoyed talking to this woman. She is in Ireland, and of course, you know how I feel about Ireland. I've taken the show there a couple of times. But she talks about, her book is Dare to be a Revolutionary Leader. People are the solution. Change your leadership culture. And it made me think about Thanksgiving. It made me think about people and how people sometimes get so lost, a lot of times get so lost in that corporate shuffle. And many of you may be in that space where you're hanging on to jobs and you're trying to juggle everything and you're doing a thing where you're half in the office and Zooming at home, or you're just completely remote and you're trying to keep it together, and there's so much that gets lost in the communication. And wait till you hear what she has to say, because I think it applies to life situations, and it goes back to that people thing and the connecting thing and people really honestly coming first. That yes, you're accompanying, of course, strategy and bottom lines and what you're doing. But imagine, and we all know this, I've worked in corporate jobs. Imagine if you felt like you were valued. Imagine if you really, really felt like that. Not that it was just something that was thrown out there, but it was something that was really, really heartfelt. So I think you'll enjoy that conversation. And then also we talked to Shahidi Islam, and he has so much experience studying biblical scriptures for like 20 plus years. So you'll enjoy that conversation and his twist too as well with his book. So stay with us. Much more coming your way next.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here and gonna stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
You've heard that supply lines are down or moving slow. And that most everything costs more these days. But good news. High-quality Sunny Bay products are in stock and ready to ship now because they're made in the USA. Like our extra-long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs, are microwavable, and come in a variety of colors and patterns. What a great gift! An extra-long neck heating pad from Sunny Bay. Also available in lavender scented. Buy now in time for the holidays and avoid any shipping delays. Available on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. They're great for men or women, are reusable and easy to clean. So, this year, give the gift of pain relief. An extra long neck wrap from Sunny Bay. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Order now when our stock is high and shipping is fast. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
Hey, it's Kate Delaney. We have breaking news from Facebook's founder and CEO, Mark Zuckerberg. Listen to what Mark has to say.
It is time for us to adopt a new company brand to encompass everything that we do, to reflect who we are and what we hope to build. I am proud to announce that starting today, our company is now Meta. Our mission remains the same, still about bringing people together. Our apps and their brands, they're not changing either. And we are still the company that designs technology around people.
Meta builds technologies that help people find communities, connect, and grow businesses. Remember when Facebook launched in 2004, it changed the way people connect. Apps were created like Messenger, Instagram, and WhatsApp. Now Meta is moving beyond 2D screens toward immersive experiences like augmented and virtual reality to help build the next evolution in social technology. To unlock more opportunities, go to meta.com.
Love me, love me, please don't tease. If I can hold you, honey, let me squeeze. Oh, my heart, I go round and round. And my love comes tumbling down. And you leave me. Ripless!
Obviously, on this show, we've been talking a lot about COVID now for actually over a year because we were talking about it before it hit the United States. And joining us now is Mark Goldman. He's the managing partner of Goldman and McCormick PR and a pal of mine, too, as well. And I was so saddened and scared to learn about his experience with COVID-19. Hey, Mark, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me. Great pleasure.
So tell us what happened. I mean, take us back to how'd you know you had it and what was that like?
You know what? On January 2nd, I got a rapid test. I was negative. On January, I think, 4th or 5th, I got another rapid test and I was positive. And I had to, they said I had to quarantine for 14 days. I actually ended up quarantining for 19 days. My kids were with my ex-wife and the house that I'm living in, I have my mother there as well. She's, you know, very elderly and old. So I had to actually check into a hotel for 19 days. I told them, of course, I was on business, which I was, right? And I stayed there for 19 days where I quarantined. I really didn't see anybody. I didn't really do too much work. And, it was the worst experience of my life and I'm still traumatized from it, till this day.
So when you say it's the worst experience of your life, what were you experiencing? What were, you know, you test positive, you go in the hotel, were you getting night sweats? What was it like?
Absolutely. I had very high fevers. I was getting night sweats. I was having nightmares. I didn't eat for 2 weeks straight. I was sleeping all hours of the day. It was just a horrible, horrible experience for me. I did not have, like some other people have, the lack of smell or taste. I just wasn't hungry at all. But it's a horrible, horrible situation. I really recommend if anybody thinks this is fake or it's political or it's not true or it's a conspiracy, this is 100% real. And we have to make sure that everybody in this country knows that this is real. Keep up the social distancing. Keep up the mask wearing. Even if your governor or your politician says, wear your mask and blah, 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 and you're against what they say or you're against politics, whatever it is, wear a mask because it will be better for you in the long run.
Yeah, and better for us as a country, obviously, and we see it's happening around the world, too, because of how it's just crushed business. It had to be scary for you because you were so isolated, too. And I know you know, you're a gregarious person. You got people around you, and you got kids. So for your kids, it had to be scary.
Yeah, no, it was a very, very scary experience all around. For the first 2 weeks, I was really just not feeling good at all. After the second week, I did a telehealth session with a doctor, and he called in about 4 different medications, and I really got much more healthier from that, between the vitamins, some of the medications I was on, like a Z-Pack and a steroid and this, that, and the other, and it just really, really helped out in the long run. So, obviously I was very appreciative of the doctor. If I did not do that, I would end up in the emergency room.
Wow. So, because like we said, you had the night sweats, you couldn't sleep, you couldn't eat, all that stuff. But because you did the telehealth thing, and then you got, like you said, the various things from the steroids to the vitamins, et cetera, that helped kind of buoy you. Otherwise, were you worried, obviously, that you would be one of those people that got into the hospital and maybe ended up not breathing, getting on a ventilator?
Absolutely. And then the other thing is when I'm in the hotel, I put on the TV and all I see is, 50,000 more people died of COVID today or whatever else. And I'm just thinking, more people are dying and this may happen to me and, whatever else. And it's just really, really scary, scary experience. And I also got anxious to go to sleep in the evenings because I was afraid of all the nightmares and fever and sweating and everything else. It was just a horrible, horrible, traumatizing experience, really, overall.
So you have the anxiety, but then you start to notice that it finally, eventually, you feel better. You take another test and you're, negative and you know that you can leave the hotel?
No. After 14 days of quarantining, they say, you're better, or you don't have to quarantine anymore. But what I did was I was checking my fever every day. I was checking my oxygen levels every day. And I was in communication with the doctor, and between those three things, I was set to go back. So I had fever. I was fever free for 7 days. My oxygen levels were at 98%. So I was really in a better place. I was feeling good, more energy. I was ready to eat. So really, at the end, you kind of knew that it was out of you.
What would you say to people? Because, now we're having also, you talked about the masks, Mark, but also the great debate over the vaccines.
Right. Yeah, I think for all the people there, I'm not anti-vaccine. I have kids and we've vaccinated them for several different things. None of them have autism. None of them have any horrible issues going around that. And when the vaccine is available, I'm in New York, so it's been a little messed up, but when it is available, I'm ready to take it. And if there's a side effect or two, that's something, I got to deal with personally. But I can never, ever have COVID again. And I don't want anybody to experience what I experienced.
Yeah. Wow. Well, we're glad you're well. And Mark, thanks so much for sharing your story.
Thank you.
So as Mark said, you look at the symptoms and he described it and he did that 14 days. And, you get the fever, cough, shortness of breath. They're the highest frequency symptoms of COVID-19. According to this latest study of symptoms in about 11,000 adult COVID-19 patients, at least one of those symptoms was reported in 93% of the cases. The fever, the chills that he was talking about, the fever can be low grade or a degree or two higher than normal to dangerously high, and you can experience chills in your body, which feels cold for no apparent reason. It could be just kind of a cozy temperature, but you're still shivering. And then the cough, everybody talks about the cough. It's a respiratory illness, so cough is a common symptom. And it can also appear early in the infection. A dry, persistent cough can be a red flag that you have COVID-19. The fatigue, the muscle aches, that's another thing to look out for. Mark mentioned it. He didn't have that distorted sense of smell or taste or loss of it, but a lot of people describe that as something that they are dealing with, and then they know that's why they believe they have COVID and take the tests and whatnot. So now we're at 463,000 deaths in the United States. That's out of 27 million cases worldwide, 2.31 million of total cases worldwide, 106 million reported cases that we know of, because, of course, that number could be a little bit different. Those are numbers, by the way, from John Hopkins. Scary, scary stuff when you think about it. 31.9 million people have been vaccinated. So the number who have received at least one dose of the vaccine, and that covers 25.9% of the prioritized population and 9.6% of the total population of the United States. And the vaccine and how do you get it and how do you register? I always say this show is about the conversation in your backyard and mine, no matter where you are listening to us, whether it is in Tucson, Arizona, or whether you are listening to us in Ottumwa, Iowa, Portland, Oregon, New Orleans, wherever it might be, anywhere in the great state of Louisiana or in the great state of Michigan, and we want to welcome a new affiliate, WMIC in Sandusky, Michigan. And so if you're listening to us there, the thing to do is call the county, and I know it's frustrating. You have to get on the computer, you make these phone calls, and you get sent to a line somewhere, but it does work. If you just keep pressing forward, you will get on a list, and as the vaccine becomes available, if you're getting that vaccine, like Mark said, and you have no issues with it, well, then get yourself in line and just be patient. In a more rural area, they're having much more success. That's why West Virginia and some of the areas in West Virginia, boy, they're doing phenomenal. I mean, they're like at 85% of, as far as all the doses they've gotten, getting them out there because, and I've talked about this on a previous show, because of the connectivity to these pharmacies. People know their pharmacists. The word gets out. It spreads. They're local. And then people are getting vaccinated and none of the doses are getting lost in between. And of course, the next thing that happens is once you get the first one, and then it's all about getting the second one and being able to get that quickly enough and not let it linger too far. That's why J&J, you know, Johnson & Johnson, they're talking about their vaccine. Once they get all the approvals, that's a one-shot deal. There were fireworks in Tampa for the first socially distanced Super Bowl. Home field advantage for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who slaughtered the Chiefs. We're talking about it on the flip side as we open the door to the man cave.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MacTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
U.S. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Thousands of Southern California residents may not have the power they need to cook their Thanksgiving dinners. Strong Santa Ana winds in the forecast and some already triggering public safety power shutoffs in areas that are prone to wildfires. Gusts over 40 to even 65 miles an hour are possible in Los Angeles, Orange, and Ventura counties, along with the Inland Empire, and as a result, power has been cut already today to nearly 7,000 homes and businesses in that area. The CDC is out with a health advisory because of a spike in seasonal flu cases, especially among children and young adults. They say flu cases are still on the lower side overall nationally, but more than 90% of the flu cases confirmed are among kids and young adults, meaning those ages 5 through 24. We're hours away from the Macy's Day Parade, and the balloons have been inflated. USA Radio News. A statue of one of the founding fathers is no longer in New York's City Hall. The plaster replica of an original statue of Thomas Jefferson was removed on Monday in a process that took several hours. The latest to be taken down as cities nationwide remove statues that they believe are tied to Confederate symbols and leaders with connections to slavery. New York's Public Design Commission voting 8-0 in favor of relocating that Thomas Jefferson statue because of his history as a slave owner. New York City police are gearing up for the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, just hours away now. The NYPD Commissioner Dermot Shea says the Counterterrorism Bureau is out in full force already, and folks can feel safe. Security includes, well, that they'll tell us about, cement blocks, sand trucks, and explosive detection canines being used. Wall Street ended mixed in Wednesday trading, and this is USA Radio News.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need, just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. advertise@gcnlive.com.
Favorite place on earth, that would be Ireland, to speak with Charlie Sword. She has written a very, very crucial book, I think, at the time that we're in right now when it comes to work and people, etc. Her book is called Dare to be a Revolutionary Leader. People are the solution. Change your leadership culture. Oh, boy. I can't tell you how many people in the C-suite, or even people that are younger coming up the ladder, I have heard them say they're overwhelmed, they're exhausted, and they have no idea how to implement what's happening at their companies, I'm sad to say. So Charlie can help us. Charlie, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, Kate, for inviting me to join you, and I'm delighted to be here.
So let's talk about your career path first, because you have all this expertise that you were able to pour into the book. Tell the listeners about your background and what led you to your aha here about people.
Okay, thank you, Kate. Well, I started my career over 40 years ago, and in Bank of Ireland Group, I went in straight from school, as was the case then. And as I worked up through the ranks, and the higher I got in the management level, and the more I got involved in strategic planning and decision making, the more I got a little bit disconcerted with the decision-making process and some of the ethics. And what I found was that some of the policies and the procedures that related to people were, they were for the press and they were for print and they were for publication. But when it came to applying them to the people in the organization, I felt they fell way short. So the disillusionment set in. So during that time, I also set up some social initiatives and I got a taste for the business life outside of the banking environment. And so after some consideration, I decided that I would leave. I just felt I didn't fit in the organization and I didn't want the institution as I saw it to define me. And so I decided I would be true to my values and I left. Now, that was a huge decision because I had a mortgage, etc. But, you know, I had to be true to myself, and that's one of the key messages in my book. But when I left, I set up my own consultancy business, which is still functioning today, thank goodness. And I chose to work in the developing world. There was a lot happening there. The Iron Curtain had fallen and an awful lot of the former socialist countries were trying to align themselves with international best practices, etc. And I thought, you know, I'm going to lend a hand because it was just important to me and to give people a chance. So I've spent over 24 years now working in over 26 countries on multiple projects in a number of countries. And what I noticed, because I work predominantly with the management, the leadership, the executive teams, and also with the boards of directors, and what I've noticed at all times is that when it comes to discussing their people, their people are almost the forgotten element of their business thinking. So what I found is that all leaders and all managers, they achieve their results through their people. But their people are not front and center in their decision-making process. And so I thought about it and I thought, you know, I'm learning hugely as I go through life, go through my work. I love working with people. And the feedback in the training rooms and in the workshops and in the boardrooms, it was phenomenal in that when I raised the people question, it caused people to stop and think. And I thought, gosh, I can't find it anywhere in a book anywhere to share with them, so perhaps I need to do this. Now, I have my own legacy. When I left the bank, I knew what I wanted to do. And I realized I have a voice based on my experience and I want to use it. So I wrote the book as my fresh perspective on leadership. And I really would like to change other people's perspectives. And I think the book is very timely because we're now in a post-pandemic situation. And I do think there's going to be a leadership crisis, the likes of which we've never seen before. I do believe there's a lot to be learned from the original and the traditional leadership models. But I think we need to take the best out of those. And I think we need to just, you know, get a bit more courageous and we need to step forward and we need to change things because the leadership models that got us to here, I don't believe are the ones to get us out of the situation.
Yeah, so it's interesting. We talked off the air and diving into the book, again, daring to be a revolutionary leader is what we're talking about. I mean, it's wonderful that that's the name, the title of the book, Dare to Be a Revolutionary Leader, which you can get on Amazon, Barnes and Noble, wherever great books are sold. You parceled this down into three sections. You talk about the person, you know, you talk about the employees, you talk about the results. It's so interesting because that's the reverse order of how we've always heard it. It's about the results, get the results. And then, yeah, fine, great, let pat on the back and let's, you know, maybe go away for a retreat. So you've reversed that, which I think is brilliant. Tell us about the book.
The book is structured in three parts. And I've done my fair share of strategic planning when I was in the bank and since. And you're absolutely right. The bottom line is the starting point. And I believe leave the figures alone. They will be achieved if you put your focus on the right thing. And for me, the right thing is the people. I'm really passionate about empowering people because those results will not be achieved without the employees in an organization. And therefore, they need to be front and center. And so the first part of the book then for leaders is yourself. So I'm guiding all leaders, whether you're in an existing leadership role or whether you plan to go into one, to really look at yourself. And the question I ask all my mentoring clients and I would ask in the book is, who do you want to be in the world? It's not what job do you want or what title do you want. They're completely irrelevant. It's who do you want to be in the world? How do you want to be remembered? And what legacy do you want to leave? And as a leader, they're the most important questions I think you need to answer. So the self part of the book is about doing the inner work and taking the time to look at yourself. So I have guided exercises and thought processes and techniques there to help you go back and define who you really are, what are your core values, what are your intrinsic motivators, and do you embody all of these in how you deal with people? And so I take you through all of the characteristics, the skills, etc. And then when you master, and the whole point of this section of the book is that you master your self-leadership, because I truly believe, and I have seen it worldwide, that you can't effectively lead other people unless you can lead yourself. And that's why I'm starting with the self. Then I take the reader through to the section on your employees. So when you've mastered your self-leadership, you then start looking at, so how can I bring out the very best in my employees? How can I develop them, support them to master their self-leadership and to be the very best that they can be? And we work through all of the processes there, your communication skills, the art of delegation, how to give and receive feedback, not in a critical way, but in a developmental way, etc. And then for me, when you have yourself developed, when you have your employees developed, your results will actually be more than achieved. And in this part of the book, the results part, I only focus on two specific areas. It's not to say the others are unimportant, they are. But these for me are the business critical areas of strategy and the customer experience. And we all know worldwide that the single biggest difficulty with strategy in organizations is the difficulty in implementing it. And what I've noticed in all the organizations that I've worked in, well, it's implemented by your people. So if your people are not front and center, if they've not been included in the decision-making process and in the planning, it's very difficult to just say to them, well, you know, this is the diktat, this is what we're going to do, this is what you have to do. I know no adult likes to be told what to do. And that's part of the reason of bringing in this book, that we don't tell people, we stop dictating and that we start including them. The people on the front line, the people at all levels in an organization, they know what's happening and they know more than the leaders what the customer's perspective is. And I also do a lot of work in the medical sector, and it's crippled right now. But, you know, when I work with medical healthcare sector employees and with business employees and business organizations, the one thing I say to them when we go through the process of leadership is, before you ever make a decision, please consider, in the medical sector, there is a patient at the end of this thought process. So whatever you do, put that patient front and center, because there's a consequence for all action and all inaction, whatever decision you make. And the same for business organizations. There is a customer at the end of every decision that's made. And in all sectors, there's a huge question of trust. So the strategy in all organizations is achieved by your people. And then when you look at that as well, and you look at the whole customer experience, they have to be, they are the second most important resource for any leader, are your customers, medical sector, your patients, your clients, your service users. And therefore, I have just zoned in on those in the book, as these are the two primary result areas you need to focus on. The financials will absolutely flow. The technology will always be there. But my concern is that, you know, humanity are being compromised with the level of technology development and the speed by which we're focusing on that. And people can't keep up. So we just have to take our foot off that pedal and we have to focus on people. And that's how the book is structured.
so true. We are out of time. You said it all. This is a tremendous book. Dare to be a revolutionary leader. People are the solution. Change your leadership culture. Charlie Swords, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kate. It's been a pleasure.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars shared with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
In fact, to London to welcome to the show Jahidi Islam. He's written a book, Black Divinity, Manifesto of the Black Theocracy, third edition, actually. And we had such an interesting conversation off the air that I think enlighten a lot of people who are very confused about a few elements of the God Body movement. So thank you, Jahidi, for coming on.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
I know you've written several books, but what made you write this specific book?
So this specific book was written to enlighten individuals concerning the God Body movement and to enlighten particularly those within the Christian church, but also those outside of the Christian church and the Black community as to the progressive movement that the God Body is, to show that it has a very deep philosophy and theology to it, a very sophisticated philosophy and theology to it. And I was hoping to convey that within the words of the book.
Yeah. And for people who don't know, give us an explanation and tell us your thoughts on the movement, on the God Body movement, and what it really embodies and what it is and what the misconceptions are.
So currently there is a conception of the God Body that it's a street movement because many of the individuals within the God Body are from the streets. You know, they come from the ghetto and it is a very ghetto movement. And because of that, there is a misconception that the God Body movement is a security threat group and is a negative group, whereas actually it's, as I say, they have a very positive move. They are a very positive movement. They are trying to teach people and guide people away from gangs and away from the destructive life and towards a more intellectual life, towards reading, studying, and gaining more knowledge of themselves and of their history. So that's, the God Body movement is a very positive movement, and I'm hoping to convey that throughout my works, basically.
In this book, in the manifesto, especially of Black Theocracy, and it's the third edition, what's different in the book? What do you talk about in the book? Give us, don't tell us everything, but give us a little glimpse of it.
So basically, so there are a lot of Black people who are currently disempowered, and, you know, that has led to psychological pain. What Black Divinity tries to do is it tries to guide people, it tries to provide people, Black people, with a deeper knowledge of themselves and of their divinity and potential in a smart and sensual lifestyle, basically, so that they can have true Black power. So that's the ultimate goal within the book. Also, the goal within the book is to show that, you know, there is a beauty to sensuality and to the divinity within Black people.
Yeah. What has it meant for your life?
So for me, I have basically come from, so I basically came from a Crip affiliation. I was within a gang, within the Crip gang, and the God Body inspired me to leave the Crips and to basically do more studying, do more research, do a lot of, so I've studied sociology and anthropology. I've also studied books on my own in psychology and in various other disciplines, and that's due to the education that I gained from the God Body movement. So the God Body definitely inspired me towards a more positive way of life and living.
And how tough was that to remove yourself from that gang affiliation?
Oh yeah, yeah, that wasn't easy, definitely. I mean, you know, the gang life is definitely something that it becomes ingrained into every aspect of your development. And for me, it basically consumed me. But yeah, the God Body movement definitely played a strong role in moving me out of that. It wasn't easy to get out of that. And it definitely did require a lot of, a lot of work and a lot of basically, you know, it wasn't easy, but I by the grace of God and by the help of my fellow associates, you know, I got through.
And so now you and just in our conversation and the small time we spent together, there's a peace about you. Do you feel that peace?
Oh yes, yes, definitely. I've become a lot more peaceful, but you know, I've become a lot more inspired to advance and discipline my fellow brothers and sisters and to guide them along the path of intellectual development. And that's, again, a lot of that is inspired by the God Body movement, you know. So I'm very happy to have found them, and I'm very happy to, again, I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, so in the 1990s, so, you know, that was definitely, they were there in the 1990s, and they were definitely an inspiration in spite of my negative elements too. So, you know, so I'm very glad that I was able to contact them and to grow through that.
Right. And so the book, again, Black Divinity, Manifesto of the Black Theocracy, and it's the third edition. What do you hope people take away from reading the book?
So, again, there are three takeaways I hope people get from it. So, basically, the first is that we as Black people are divine people. So, we've been taught for years to see God in the image of other people. And basically, it's my hope that we can see God in our own image and see God as we are, and no longer look to another God, but to see our own selves as the divine manifestation. The second takeaway I hope people get from it is that sensuality is actually a beautiful thing, that there's nothing wrong with sensuality. Sensuality has been dubbed as a negative for years, and it's been considered to be a negative in the eyes of many Black people who have had a problem with their own bodies and with their own sensuality and sexuality as a result of that. And what I'm hoping to accomplish is to show Black people in particular that we are a sensual people, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, we can, it's perfectly fine to be sensual and to have that sensuality. And the third thing that I'm hoping people take away from this book is that the God Body movement is not a negative, but it actually has a very sophisticated philosophy and theology. So it's not a, it shouldn't be classified as a security threat or as a evil or negative movement. It should be considered and perceived to be a righteous movement. We believe in righteousness. We preach righteousness. And so for the establishment to belittle us by calling us a gang or a security threat is completely, it goes completely against what we practice and what we teach to our people.
Yeah. For you that, you know, especially coming from your background as you mentioned to us, it has to be frustrating, right? And you know that when something, when people don't understand something, there is that tendency to just throw a label on it. And that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to shred the wrong label, right?
Yeah. I mean, as we were talking about earlier, this is what has happened to most religious movements and most movements on the rise. You know, they've gone through a period of persecution in their early formation. And it's the same with us. You know, we're going through a period of early persecution. And it's my hope that over time we can rise above this and gain credibility as a positive movement and as a good and strong and righteous movement in particular, because again, we preach righteousness. Righteousness is a part of every of what we teach, and it is encouraged heavily within our movement. So, you know, I'm hoping that over time we can rise above this negative label.
Yeah, and we want to mention again that you can get the book on Amazon, you can get the book Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold.
Yeah.
And I look forward to seeing what comes next. Shahidi Islam, thanks so much for coming on.
Cool, thank you very much.
And thanks to all of you for listening to this interview. Make it count, everybody. This is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they share with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.